Hello, everybody. My name is Ken L. I'm an addict. When Herschel texted me about this, and I said, what's my topic? And he gave me that sucker, and I was like, damn, that's a long topic. our only hope is to live by the example of those who have faced our dilemma and found a way out. And I think we can all relate to that. So, like I was taught early on in this program, was to look things up. So I went to Google, of course, nowadays, right? And here's what Google said. I found it interesting, especially this very last part of the sentence. So listen in. The example of those who have overcome adversity can provide a powerful combination of inspiration, practical guidance, and a reassurance that we are not alone. I thought, wow, there's N.A. sitting there in Google. And I was like, that was pretty wild. Then I'll go on. I'm going to say we all have different stories, right? Although all have a shared struggle. The shared struggle with addiction and other hardships puts us on a common ground. This makes us feel accepted and part of, understood and supported. When the newcomer see others who have been where they are, they can begin to feel hope. That's the big thing, man, is that we feel hope. Tell me a little bit about myself because it's important to me. I first tried to get clean in 1984, 1985, and 1986. You can tell it happened, right? And I went into a treatment center, and it helped. Okay, I stayed clean for quite a long time, but I relapsed in 2006. Okay, and so I was clean for a long time, but I didn't have a program. I wasn't following anybody. You know, wasn't getting a solution. I relapsed again in 2011, and after going into the system, prison, you know, and stepping back out on September 3rd of 2013, that's my now clean date. I just celebrated 12 years, so thank you. I went to my first meeting after that when I got out of prison, okay, and this is part of my experience. I went to the first meeting. And after the meeting, and we hear this happen all the time, after the meeting I'm talking, I knew somebody there. Thank goodness. That made me feel better, right? And he looked down at my old raggedy book. See, it's falling apart. I still keep it, even though I can get a new one. I like it. And he asked me if I was going to do something with that raggedy book or I'm just going to carry it around to make myself look like I'm in, you know. And he also said, do you want to go out to eat with us? And I said, I don't have no money, man. And he said, then ask if you had any money. Come on, we're going to take care of you. So I went out to eat. It was a Friday night. And for most of us, we know what Friday nights were when we were using. And went out with them to eat, a whole bunch of clean people having a good time. And I saw what they were doing. They were happy. And by the time it was over, it was 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. And I was like, okay, cool. I don't have to go to no bar, no club, nothing like that. I'm good. And I stopped and I said, where do y'all go tomorrow to a meeting where y'all go out to eat afterwards? Because this was cool. And so it started. I was seeing the example those people were giving me. I went to that second meeting. And I, of course, because I asked them where they were going, of course I knew I was going to see some people. And I saw some more people. And I listened to their stories as they were sharing how much time they had and things like that. And something clicked for me this time around. And I saw it, and as I went to meetings day after day, I didn't have a job then, so, you know, go to meeting, right? I saw these predecessors at meetings I was going to. You know, I saw you at the meeting. I saw you at a meeting again in third meeting. I'm like, wow, these people got 10, 15, 20 years clean, and they keep going to these meetings. Maybe that's something I didn't click with me. You know, no longer, all of a sudden it was no longer, oh, I got to go to these darn meetings every, you know. It was, wow, if you go to these meetings, maybe I have a chance, a hope that I can stay clean this time around. And so I started following that example those predecessors had given me. And, you know, to this day, I tell this story. Those of you that know me, I tell this story all the time. That's my truth right there, is that I saw these people going to meetings, you know, and it, as we went along, and then becoming of service, of course. One of my friends, he's passed away. His name was Ed Fisher. He was a very important person in my life. Wasn't my sponsor, but he was my friend. And he would often share this. And so, you know, we get things, we steal things. We say steal. We borrow them. We take those sayings, you know. And we repeat them because that's what we do, right? And one of the things he used to share a lot of when it came to, like, sponsorship, and to me it's an example of why we follow people in their experiences and see what they do. He talked about sponsorship, and he always said, you know, when you first started using, I don't know about y'all, but for most of mine, that using was how to pour a drink. I didn't know how to pour a drink. How much whiskey do you put in there, you know? So I found me a sponsor, of course, so to say. Hey, how do you make this, you know? What's a tequila sunrise? Okay, cool, you know? And then the first time I smoked a joint, someone passed me the joint, I said, this is pretty cool, but I didn't know how to roll a joint. I had to have someone show me. The first time I put a needle and a spoon together or a piece of cotton, I had to have someone show me. So in essence, we've all had sponsors when we were using. We just didn't think of it that way. But we had to have somebody show us what to do. When we get here, he said, that's what we need. We need to have somebody show us what to do. And it's your sponsor, it's your friends, it's our associates we all hang with. Right? I mean, that part that says, at one of the readings at the end, it says that we find people that are not using and have found a new way to live. And that's what we see, is found a new way to live. I also had a friend, and it's funny because we go to the same meeting still. This is like about 11 years ago. She's got like 11 years clean now. I've known her for 35, 40 years. When I got out of prison, and she was just sharing about this the other day, is that she said, well, Kent, when he got out of prison, I love the NA shirts. My whole closet is full of NA shirts. I'm that guy that people talk about. You got to watch out when you wear your NA shirt out in public all the time, or you got an NA sticker on your car. You know, you got to act right. I'm like, yeah, we'll try to act right, but we're humans. We can act bad sometimes. But she said, I always wore NA on my sleeve, basically. You know, if somebody asked me, hey, where I've been, I'd tell them. I went to fucking prison, you know. I went to prison. I did my time. I got out, and I decided I didn't want to live that way anymore. Well, I didn't know it. She was using. She was watching me. We went to church together at the same church. I've known her parents forever. And that one day she called me because of the example I was leading. And she said, she woke me up. Didn't have a job yet. It was in my first year. I didn't have a regular job. And I'm on the phone. I hear this voice crying. And she goes, how do you do it? And that light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, she's asking me. How do I do what? I want her to ask me one more time. And she said, how do you not wake up every morning without thinking about using drugs? And what felt like an eternity was that little pause, like in my head, and that little conscious was saying, you got to answer the most truthful answer in the world to get her to hear. And I said, I don't. And she said, what? I said, I don't. I may not wake up thinking about using, but during my day, I'm going to think about using, whether I see an addict on the street talking to somebody that's not there and arguing with them, or going underneath the bridges downtown at work and seeing all the people living underneath the bridge. So I'm going to think about using at some point in time in my day. And I'm going to do one of those, I said, and then one of them silly bumper stickers that we have, slogans, is that I play the tape through. Where does it take me when I take that first hit? Where does it take me when I take that first drink? You know, I'm going to drink. I'm going to smoke. I'm going to snort. I'm going to shoot. It's all going to happen. And I know it because I've experienced it, and I tested it out. I don't know how much more time I have, but I got a couple readings things I found in the literature that really relate here, that I thought related anyway. And I love the literature. Who doesn't? How much?
15.
Okay, good. Good. If you haven't figured it out already, one of my favorite parts of NA is fellowship. I love fellowship. That's why we're here, right? We're here to fellowship at this convention and get a shot of hope. You know, again, it says, for many of us today, what is revolutionary about recovery is the love and intimacy we experience with other members. We come together in fellowship. As we stay together, we find one another a deep affection and trust. We can override the hurts and squabbles we have along the way. And I feel that's so important. I don't know about you, but in 12 years, I've had some amends to make to people clean that are in the fellowship. I might have said something or done something wrong. I had one guy I tried to make an amends to, and after I made the amends, I thought I was going to get in for a hug, and he shoved me away. He didn't say nothing. He just shoved me away like, I ain't taking your hug right now. Took about a year or two. And he came around, and one day I was at a meeting, and he came up to give me a hug. And I thought, okay. That was like the best amends I've ever thought I made, you know, and eventually, because he gave me what I needed. I needed to be pushed away at that time, you know. I hurt his feelings, man, and it happens in this room. But we learn from all the experience, and the fellowship is a big thing to me. This one is also out of the Living Clean. It's the gift of hope. It says, we learn from each other's example. Those who go before us clear the path. We walk today. We walk in one another's footprints and we progress on our journey. We learn responsibilities by watching others be responsible. Telling the truth about ourselves doesn't just set us free. Our example frees others. Even in our most painful moments, we can still be a vision of what is possible. If we are willing to include the people we sponsor and draw them closer as we go through an ordeal, they can offer support and reassurance we dearly need it. We also give them the chance to learn from our experience and our mistakes. We can be an example of strength and perseverance for others, and we can look to others for hope as well. And, you know, it's just what this whole topic is about, is that we got to look to others that have shared our dilemma, it says, right? And it helps us because how much more trust can we put in it, each other's? I was just talking to Wayne because he said he's from Beaumont, and I said, yep, I lived there courtesy of the state. Didn't like it. Didn't like it at all. But it was like and I told him, I said, most of us, it was called a therapeutic community. It was a cognitive program. It was like, for those of y'all that don't know what that is, if you know what safe pee is, it's like a safe pee, and it was watered down so bad they didn't have enough money and funds for the counselors they needed. And there was one counselor in there, this example I give, we talk about those that have faced our own dilemma. So the counselors that we had, there was about four of them. And you could tell that most of them had experienced alcohol or drugs. But this one counselor, we could tell, you know, we're talking 120, 150 prisoners, we could all tell she hadn't ever used anything. She went to college. She learned about drug use and abuse in college, which is okay. And we questioned her, and she wouldn't answer the question, have you used drugs before? She wouldn't tell us yes or no. We already knew the answer. And for about 3 weeks, she wouldn't tell us, and that was the big talk in the dorms. that was my one example that, you know, how can you teach us something if you haven't at least dibbled in where we've been a little bit, you know, something. And you know what? She finally came and said, yeah, guess what, guys? I don't use alcohol or drugs and never have. After that, we were okay with her. Because now she at least came down to our level and was honest with us. Mm-hmm. But still, at the same time, for about those 3 weeks, it's like, what do you got to offer us? You don't know what we've done, where we've been, you know? And so that was a big thing to me, man, is that. Let's see here. Da-da-da-da-da. And then, speaking of therapeutic thing, this is out of being of service, out of Living Clean, which is the other big thing to me, man. And I'll get on service in a second as it goes. But it says, the therapeutic value of one addict helping another, which is, Tabitha was admiring I had another addict made this cover for me, and it says one addict helping another, because I believe in that so much. One addict helping another. It's huge. It says one addict helping another is a two-way street. It doesn't matter who's doing the giving or the talking. We are equally entitled to ask and to provide. And wherever we are in the exchange, we benefit. We no longer have to weigh and balance who is getting more or less, whether we're doing enough or being taken for a ride. The truth is, we're all looking for motivation, inspiration, a spark that will catch fire in us. A good meeting, a powerful 12-step call, a convention, or a camp out can leave us feeling filled up, knowing that just for a moment we were right where we needed to be. Yeah. That feeling is addictive. Once we know we can feel that good, we want more. You know, we are willing to slog through the hard times because we know if we keep doing it, we're going to feel that complete again. It's not an illusion like it was when we were using. Boy, I chased a lot of that. It's the very real understanding that just for today, what we do matters to someone, you know. And, man, I don't know how many times, you know, meeting, but that one part where, like, we had a good meeting makes me think of this time. I was married to a woman in this program, and she relapsed. Crushed me. I'm not going to lie to you. Crushed me. I still love the clean person she was. I hate the addict she was when she was addicted. I always tell her, my stepdaughter, she's two different people. It's your mom and it's the addict. It's two different people. But I went to a meeting once during that struggle before I divorced her. And where you got the coffee was around the corner down the hall. It was at this old room we used to meet in. You had to go to the kitchen. And this newcomer that I'd seen the week before was in there getting coffee, and I remembered his name, and I talked to him. And he said, "How's your day?" I said, "Horrible. Just bad." He goes, "Wow." I said, "Yeah, I came here tonight to hopefully I hear somebody out there in that room share a story that's worse than my day, so I can feel good, a little bit better about my day." And he kind of chuckled. And we went into the rooms, and about 30, 45 minutes went by, and I looked over at him, and I said, "I guess I'm that guy, because I haven't heard no shit worse than mine today." He started laughing. He knew what I meant, so I shared. And just that share made me feel better, you know, that I was at a meeting, and I could share with all y'all the crap that I was going through today, you know. But there are times I feel I have somebody share something worse than mine, and that helps me, too. And that's why we go to meetings. So, anyway, let's see if I already might have shared that one. Yeah, I already shared that one. So anyway, and that's all I wrote down. I told a few people that were in here earlier, if you got something out of what I shared, hallelujah, I appreciate y'all. If you didn't get something or you didn't like how I shared, remember, it's kind of like karaoke. It's free. You know, you go to the main speaker tonight and really probably get something, I love all y'all, and I appreciate y'all coming, and I hope y'all got a shot of hope or something I said.
My name is Tabitha. I'm an addict. Hey, family. I'm so absolutely grateful to be here and have this opportunity to share with you all. And I'm from Denver, and I was planning on coming here already. Like, I already had my flight booked and everything before they said that I was going to share. So that was, you know, it's a real fucking blessing to be here. Sorry, I dropped bombs. Like, and I just want to say, I saw you last night when you were doing the reading. And when you get choked up, it's the beauty of this program, right? Like, I get choked up. I'm a crier. I'm loud. I'm laughing. I'm all over the place. But that was a very beautiful thing. I was right there with you. Yeah, you're welcome. The great thing about this is that we're all equals when we walk through the door of Narcotics Anonymous, right? The experience I have is I went to a treatment center, and my using was so fucking bad. Like, I have three kids. I used during all my pregnancies. I just couldn't stop using, right? And it wasn't until they were taking all of my kids away. My son was only 8 months or 9 months at the time when I went to treatment. When they were taking all my kids away, I was like, okay, you guys need to do something for me. I need help. Take my kids, do whatever it is that you want, but I need help. So they put me in a treatment center. That is my higher power. Literally had to remove me from society because they knew I wasn't going to stop using. So I went there, and it was about 5 days in, and all the girls were getting all ready and done up. I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, we're going to a meeting. And I was like, what the fuck is a meeting? You know, oh, there's boys there. And I'm like 5 days clean out of 27 years of using. I'm like, I could give a fuck about men right now, but I want to know what this meeting thing is, you know? So they brought us there, and it was this small little room with a fireplace, and it was packed. It was so packed, and there was people sitting on the floor, standing against the walls, and I was like, who are these motherfuckers, and what are they doing here, right? And then they're like, the chair starts talking, he's like, welcome to NA, the SNL meeting of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was like, what's Narcotics Anonymous? You know, I was really intrigued. People were sharing about shit that I was going through. I was like, there's no way that these people are clean and in a room together, and not, I thought you guys were full of shit, okay? I honestly thought you were full of shit, but I was like, I'm in. I dove right in, you know, and I love this. So I printed up some stuff, too, because I got all of my stuff out of the basic text, because the topic is for, you know, facing our dilemma and have found a way out. I wanted a way out of the disease. I didn't know it was a disease. I thought it was normal that everybody used and partied, and because that's the way I grew up in my family, you know, and I was hopeless. I was absolutely hopeless, and there was a solution, and it's a spiritual battle, right? And I was dying inside. But the second I stopped putting dope in my body and I found Narcotics Anonymous, see, I thought I was going to be alone, doing this alone. I was like, and I didn't realize I have like 400 phone numbers in my phone, and I could call anybody at any time at a drop of a hat, and you guys will be there for me. This addict, I had to seek outside help because I was really messed up. I was abused my whole life as a kid, and I ended up with some, what are those, diagnoses. But I'm really grateful for our literature, because in the book it says you might want to go to the doctor, you might want to, you know, go to the dentist and like do these things and check yourself up. So I did. So I had like this wraparound program, but so I know I'm bouncing all over the place. But when I got clean and I got out of the treatment center, I went to a homeless shelter, right? And the only thing that I owned to my name was a bus pass and a meeting list. And they said, this is what you do. You go to a fucking meeting every day. You go to two meetings every day. I was doing three meetings every day. I wanted what you guys had. And I didn't know how to live, right? So people were like, these are our suggestions. And I was like, no, motherfucker, shaking people. You need to tell me how to live, because I don't even know how to brush my teeth, get my ass clean. Like, I don't know those things, you know? So basics. And it was about 90 days in, and there was this guy, he's like, I would come in, and I would be complaining, my dad's trying to take my kid, and like, this is going on, I'm in a shelter, and I was beaten, I was a victim, right? And he's like, did you use today? And I was like, no. He's like, okay, see you tomorrow. And I was like, what? What about all my problems, you know? What about all my shit? He's like, you didn't put dope in your body today, and that's the only thing that matters right now, right? So I teach that to my sponsees especially when I get the new ones, and I'm like, don't. They're like, I got this, or they got all these big plans that they want to do and everything all right away, and I'm like, just don't put dope in your body today, you know? And you'll have a chance. And I love this line. We agree that there's nothing shameful about being an addict, provided we accept our dilemma honestly and take positive action, right? I watched people. So when I got clean and I came into the rooms, I was watching people and what was going on. And there's some drama and stuff that happens in NA, you know? And I was like, I made a decision to stick with the old timers. Like anybody who had 10 years plus, even 20 years, I was like, I want to know what you did. I want to know how you did it, and you need to tell me. You're not going to keep shit a secret, right? Oh, man, speaking of secrets, when I first got into service, I went on our meeting list. It was like an all-day meeting the first Sunday of the month. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds like so much fun, right? So I walk in at 10:30, and they're like, this is area. This is service. This is what we do here, you know? And I was like, okay, where do I go? They're like, you don't have enough clean time, but this one committee here will take you because there's no requirement. And I was like, hell yeah, right? And it was public information, and I had a resentment literally for the first 3 years of my recovery about not knowing about Narcotics Anonymous until 2015. I had no clue. I've never heard of you guys. I never heard of any of the A's, right? So that was my first stint with service. Then I ended up being in an area for 6 years. But I'm really grateful for that. If you're new and you are feeling not a part of NA, jump into service because that will make you feel a part of us. Immediately, you know, I used to go to the events and stuff and bring a book and like sit on the sidelines because I was there but not there because I didn't want to engage with anybody. But once I got into service, that really changed everything. Nobody told me what I love this line. Nobody told me what to do, but by quiet example, they showed me the possibilities of a life free from active addiction. I used to be jealous in the beginning because for the first 5 years of my recovery, I was on welfare. Like, I was so sick in the head that I couldn't work. So I decided to go to school, and I was in school for on welfare for 5 years, in school for 8.5, it ended up being. But I didn't even get to really buy my own cup of coffee until I had 5 years clean. You know, but I would be jealous of people buying houses and buying cars and traveling here. And I'm like, how do you do all that, you know? Well, let's see. When you don't use and you save your money and you become a productive member of society, you know, freedom. You get freedom from this program, right? Just like our symbol says, the broader the base, the higher the point of freedom. And I've never felt so free in my life. Free to get on a goddamn plane and come to Houston, right? And to be at a convention. Because you know what? I don't know any of you. I know you and I know you, but I don't know anybody here. But I am you and you are me, you know? And I could share whatever I want to share and nobody's going to judge me for it, right? It doesn't matter what we do for work. It doesn't matter and all that shit is left at the door. And we are here loving each other, you know? And I thank you for that. Sometimes the only message necessary to make the suffering addict reach out is the power of example. And so I got my son back. He's 10 years old now. He's older than my clean date. He's always like, I don't understand this. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll tell you when you're older. Because my son was raised in the rooms, right? But his father was my abuser. And it was horrible. He never wanted to be a part of my son's life. And it was last year, January, he texted me and said, from Facebook, and said, I have 30 days clean. First time in his life, I have 30 days clean. I see you doing this. I see you on Facebook. I see your friend. I want that. And now he's got almost 300 days clean. And he's become a part, yeah. But because of the process of the steps, when I first saw him, he was like tears, you know, from all the history and everything that happened. And I said, look, I forgive you. I forgave you a long time ago. And that's because of a process of the steps. I remember my first 4-step, I was like, this motherfucker, you know, and did this to me, did that to me. And then I realized it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, oh. I kept chasing after him. Yeah. Yeah, I was the one that was making those choices, right? So, and we have a great relationship now. We tell each other we love you, I love you, and, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing. There's no words to express that can express the gratitude that I feel in my heart because of this program, you know? Yes, we are a vision of hope. We are examples that the program's working. Fuck yeah, it's working. Look at us. Look at just all of us being in this room is the message that we are the message. Just our very presence is the message, you know, that any addict can lose the desire to use and quit. Wait, what is it? How does it go? You guys know what I'm talking about. Okay, right here, I love this. Our meetings are the process of identification, hope, and sharing. My whole life, I could never identify with anybody. I always thought I was an outsider. I always thought I was different. And I love that in our 12-step, identification is key, right? We need each other. We're each other's eyes and ears. The ultimate weapon against the disease of addiction is another recovering addict. I love that fucking line, you know? The ultimate weapon. So if you're new or you got time and you see a newcomer, that's our fucking job is to pull them aside and be like, hey, I'm here for you. What do you need? You know, are you coming back? What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing tonight? Like, you know, here's my number or what's your number or call me or well, I just go all out. Especially when like I'm in my home group and newcomers come in because we get a lot of newcomers. I'm really grateful for that. And they get up and they go out the door. I'm like, I'll be right back. You know, like, where are you going? I understand, but you just keep coming back. You know, because I was told in the beginning, just bring your ass and your mind will follow. Just bring your ass. It doesn't matter if you're still using or whatever, just show up. I don't know. So the fellowship gave me hope by instilling that I could recover. I never knew there was a way out. 40 years old. Dead, broken, sleeping in a shed. I never knew there was a way out. You guys offered me hope. So much. You are all so beautiful. I'm sorry. The message, however, is meaningless unless we live it. As we live it, our lives and actions give us more meaning than our words and our literature ever could, right? I'm really grateful for the process of the steps, and I'm grateful for sponsorship. And sponsorship is a two-way street. There's been times that I wanted to use so fucking bad, and all of a sudden a sponsor would call. I'm going through this. This is happening. And I'd be like, step out of self, you know? Like, it's just, my sponsees have saved me so many times from going back out. And going back out, relapse is not a part of my story, and I'm too terrified, and I know it's a choice. I could pick up any time, but I don't want to, and I don't have to, you know. The God of my understanding keeps my ass in check, you know. I'm not one of those addicts like I've arrived, I'm recovered, because I've ever evolving, and so is my higher power, and so are my situations, because we all take a turn in the barrel, you know. Oh, I remember the first time I heard that, I'm like, oh, I'm like a washing machine, I'm in the barrel, you know. Oh shit, somebody ring me out. But life happens. Life on life terms happens. And I was told, you know, we have to build a foundation, a solid foundation of recovery, so when shit hits the fan, I know what the fuck to do, you know, because it does hit the fan. I've been through lots of things. My grandchild was molested and beaten. My daughter, my 15-year-old daughter tried to commit suicide. And my oldest daughter, I get here to the convention. I got here Thursday. I get a call midnight Thursday, call him back Friday morning. What's going on? This is Porter Hospital. Oh, your daughter was in the parking lot begging for help. And they put her into detox. I was like, thank God she's where she needs to be. Thank God she's in a safe place. But do I sit there and dwell on that shit? Well, no, because my higher power's got me. Her higher power's got her, obviously. You know what I mean? And when my other daughter tried to kill herself, I was in the hospital with her for 2 weeks because she ended up getting COVID, you know, and put on an M1 hold, and I was there. I was doing my papers. I was taking exams from the room. But my ass was in a meeting every fucking day in the parking lot on my phone. and talking to my sponsor, because that's what we do here, you know, because that's what I've been shown. When shit's happened, I've seen people come into a meeting and be like, my child just died. And I'm like, damn, and you're in a meeting right now, you know, or my husband just got hit by a motorcycle. I'm like, oh, I was like, wow, this shit works. We need each other. We are each other's eyes and ears. And that's what you guys taught me. So I am an open book, and I always share my shit, and I don't care, you know, because if I keep it a secret, I'm just going to get sicker, you know, and you guys taught me that. I really don't know how much time. 10? Oh my God. I know, because I talk so fast. okay, so 10 minutes. I was told in the beginning, if I was to write a list of everything that I wanted when I got clean, that I'd be selling myself short. And my life now, there's no fucking way that I could have imagined that. So I get clean, I get my mental health in order, and I get my kids back. We end up getting housing, and I decide to go to school, and I graduate with a bachelor's, and I was like, we didn't get to walk, it was COVID. I was like, it doesn't really feel like a big deal, you know? And then I decided to go get, you know, because of this program and the God of my understanding, I graduated with a master's degree. Like, and thank you. And I was always told, you're worthless, you're stupid, you're this, you'll never amount to nothing. I'd be like, you dream killers. Like, you know, my people in my family were like, you're going to college? And I'm like, yeah, and I'm a dropout. I'm a high school dropout, you know, and I did it. And but with the support, I would always be at the coffee shop before the meeting doing my homework, and like religiously, you know, because I felt safe there knowing that my NA family was coming. And I was like, I can adult. I can do this, you know. And then I ended up with an amazing job after I graduated with my bachelor's degree. I ended up being a substance use navigator for the city of Denver and rode with the police. I'm a 5-time felon. And I was like, no way is this happening. Like, lost dreams awake. I never could have dreamt that shit up, right? I remember the first time I got into the cop car, I was like, I've never been in the front seat before. And he all looks at me like, what? I said, you did read my thing, because you have to do a background check, you know? So he's like, yeah, I know. He's like, I'm in recovery too. Oh my God, there's my higher power showing up, right? He was in another fellowship and had 4 years, and I was like, damn, look at us riding together. It was just, I was like, this is insane. Now, I work for the city of Denver, and like, because of my experience, strength, and hope, and what you guys have taught me, and all the work that I've done, I'm out there in the streets trying to get anybody who wants out. That's my job. Boots on the ground, in the homeless, and like, they don't know it, but I have my little NA cards that have our hotline number on it, just in case somebody says, I want a meeting. I'm looking for NA. I'm looking for this, you know? And so I slip them the card. That's one thing that I had to learn about, you know, the anonymous part of this program. Because in the beginning, I was like, I'm in recovery. I'm in NA. And then people, like, don't want to hear that stuff that are out there, you know? And so now I had to become professional. And but deep down in my heart, it's so funny. This is how my higher power works. So I go to this snoozy job where I work for the government, and I walk into this fancy office with all these cubicles, and the very first thing I see is the fucking basic library on somebody's desk. Do you guys know what the basic library is? Where it has all the books, all the NA books in it. And I was like, damn, there you are. I see you, higher power. And it follows me anywhere, everywhere. NA follows me everywhere. And I can't get away from it. And I don't want to get away from it. I couldn't imagine walking away from you guys. There's no fucking way. I don't want to be alone. You are my family, you know? And I hope that you see me the same way too, right? Of course. That's how it works here. And I really don't have anything else to say. But thank you for my recovery, and thank you, Houston. Woo!